Hebrews chapter 3, let's go there, verses 7, 8, 9, and 10. And this is a continuation, just a bit of review from two Sunday mornings ago, and then we'll finish up that message that we began, all right? Let's stand together, please, in Hebrews chapter 3. And would you please join me on the even verses 8 and 10, okay? Now here's what the writer said, Hebrews 3, 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Let's pray, and then we'll enjoy a special. Father, thank you tonight for the fellowship of being in church. And thank you for these folks that are faithful to come out on this Sunday evening. I pray, God, that you'll speak to our hearts. Now, that's what we want. That's what we need. And we pray to that end. And thank you in anticipation of what you're going to do. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. Be seated. Thank you. I appreciate the special music both this morning and tonight, right for the occasion, and good songs and well sung. Thank you so much for that. I've been preaching a series of messages on Sunday morning. If you've been in the other building with some of the kids or with the handicapped folks or somewhere in a nursery setting or something on the property and have been in the service at 11 o'clock, I've been speaking on the subject of the heart. And I don't know how much longer it will go. Brother Coral, of course, is here next Sunday. We'll see what the Lord has for Mother's Day weekend. I spoke the first week on the exposed heart, the second week on the obedient heart, and then on the broken heart, on the fixed heart. And two Sunday mornings ago, last Sunday morning, I preached on the hardened heart, the hardened heart. This morning, I preached on the believing heart. Now, on the hardened heart, I only got through the first point, okay? We had some special guests that day. The deaf choir from Oklahoma was here. And so we got a little bit late starting the message, and it just didn't give us the time to finish. And so I want to come back and review quickly as far as we got to Sunday, a couple Sunday mornings ago, and then I want to get to the end of this message tonight on the hardened heart, okay? Let's pray together. Father, would you please help us? Thank you so much that Jesus has risen. And we know that He sits at your right hand and He lives to make intercession for us. And Jesus, would you please pray and ask the Father to help me preach tonight in the power of the Holy Spirit. I believe that you would do that for me, and I ask you to do it. And I pray that you'll also pray that everybody else, that all of us, will hear what the Spirit of God has for our hearts tonight. Help us not to have the hardened heart, please. And I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name and amen. There is a real danger, evidently, in this matter of a hardened heart, because the writer of the book of Hebrews mentioned it three times in the space of 19 verses. Said over and over again through the years here that when God repeats himself, it's not because he ran out of something to say, it's for sake of emphasis. So when you read something like that in a very short span of verses, you know that God's trying to get our attention concerning something very important to him. And so the hardened heart is mentioned three times. Now, like I said two Sundays ago, it would be easy to get bogged down in the message by attempting to explain all the historical references that are used here and the typology and so forth. I'll do a little bit of that, but I don't want to get bogged down in that. The purpose of this message is to use this text to learn about the hardened heart in general. All right? Just in general. Before I give you a couple, three lessons, let me say that all of our hearts are at some degree of hardness. Some degree of hardness, okay? And I'm using the exact same things that I used 2 weeks ago, okay? Last Sunday morning. I keep saying 2 weeks ago. It was actually just last Sunday morning. All of our hearts are at some degree of hardness. Our hearts, and I'm talking about everybody in this room, everybody in this room who's saved, first born-again child of God, our hearts may be like this Play-Doh right here, okay? We'll set that right there. Our hearts may be like that. Or our hearts may be like this. Like that right there. The Bible even talks about in Jeremiah chapter 23 that the Word of God is like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. That has an ominous sound to it when you think about your heart being in that condition. Doesn't it? This has a far more pleasing effect when I hold it and when I set it down. That has a far more pleasing effect than this does. Now, our hearts are at some degree of hardness. We are either at one of these extremes, this soft, flexible, moldable Play-Doh, or at this hard, unmovable rock, or somewhere on this line between the Play-Doh and the rock. These two extremes. Now, the question for me and you tonight is, where am I on this line? This would be the ideal place to be. But it's difficult to stay right there. Difficult to stay there. This would be the least ideal place to be. This would be the worst place to be. And you don't get here overnight. It's a progression of moving from here to here. Now, let me say this. At one point, everybody in this room had this kind of heart right here. If you claim to be a born-again child of God, your heart was in that condition when you got saved. Okay? Now, since salvation, to what degree of hardness is my heart? Since salvation, to what degree of hardness is your heart? Be a good question to ask the Holy Spirit tonight. Okay? Let me say two or three things about this hardened heart. Number one, the hardened heart limits the work of the Holy Spirit. Limits the work of the Holy Spirit. I want you to see here in verse number 7 that the writer said, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts." I want you to drop down to verse number 15. Same chapter, verse 15. "While it is said, today if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts." Look at chapter 4 and verse number 7, about the middle of the verse. "Today, after so long a time, as it is said, today if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts." Isn't it interesting that all three times the writer pens, "harden your hearts," he also pens, "if ye will hear His voice." if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts. Now, without me going into as great a detail as I did last Sunday morning, we know what the Word of God teaches, that the Holy Spirit, when we get saved, the Holy Spirit moves into our bodies. He takes up residence in our bodies. We have the third person of the Godhead, and folks, we're not talking here about Father, Son, Spirit, like He's the third rung on the ladder. We're talking about Father, Son, and Spirit. These three are one, okay? So we're not talking here about a lesser part of God. We're talking about as much God as God the Father is God, as much God as God the Son is God. The Spirit of God moves in our bodies, takes up residence. Our bodies become the temple of the Holy Spirit as soon as we get saved. Now, when the Holy Spirit moves in us, He does not move in us just to take up residence. Yes, He lives there, but He has several purposes, several works that He would like to do on me and you as He lives in us. He wants to work on us. He wants to work with us. He wants to work through us, and He wants to work in us. His main work, now He does so many things, His work comforts. I was speaking to a lady this morning at the end of the service, a lady who's newly saved, a lady whose husband was murdered, and who had to sit through the trial, the murder trial this week down at the courthouse, and listen to all the grisly details of that murder of her husband, and listen to the man who was found guilty, deny it, and so forth and so on. That's about all I'll say. And I was talking to her. I said, "You had a tough week." She said, "Yes, it was not easy." Now, she's newly saved, folks. She's not been saved that long. She said, "But the Spirit of God gave me such comfort, and all every morning I would just wake up and pray for His grace to be abundant in my heart." And boy, I'm telling you what, God showed up and helped that lady this week, and that's a blessing. Amen. The Holy Spirit, one of His ministries is to comfort us. And I can say so much more about the ministries of the Holy Spirit. But I believe with all of my heart, and I think I can prove this to you from the Scripture, I believe that His main work is to mold us, to shape us into the image of Jesus Christ. You see, the Spirit of God loves the Son of God. And He works on us, the people of God, through the Word of God, to conform us, to make us like the Son of God. That's what His main work is. His main work after we get saved is to conform us into the image of Christ. Now, folks, think with me just for a moment about the words that we've just used. Shape, mold, conform. You tell me, which is easier to work with if I want to shape or mold or form into something? Which is easier to work with? It's pretty obvious that this is easier to work with. So when my heart is in this condition or closer to this condition than it is this condition, the Holy Spirit of God has greater opportunity to mold me and shape me and press me into. And by the way, sometimes that's what it is. And I really didn't mean to say this, but the Spirit just brought it to my mind. Sometimes that's what it is, folks. Sometimes it's pressing us. Sometimes the very things that you and I want to be, you know, that we don't want them in our life. We don't want the problems. We don't want the stress. We don't want the difficulties. Sometimes God uses those things to press us more into the image of Jesus Christ. So don't shy away from those things. Now, you don't have to click up your heels and act like a dummy. Yay, I'm going through a difficult time. That's retarded. Okay? But don't run from it. When the Spirit of God brings that kind of things and uses those kind of things in your life, don't run from it. Shaping, molding, flexible, okay? Conforming us into the image of Christ. Now, what this passage is referring to is the journey that the Old Testament Jews took from the land of Egypt to the Promised Land. God was trying to move them from one place to another place. He was trying to move them from Egypt through the wilderness into the Promised Land. But they hardened their hearts, and God was limited in what He wanted to do. Yes, that happened. You say, how can you limit God? Look, I don't understand it all, but I know that's what the Scripture teaches. They limited the Holy One of Israel. That's what the book of Psalms says. They put handcuffs on God. And you understand that that's exactly what happened. Now, these places, Egypt and the wilderness and the promised land, these places are pictures of people in the progression of the Christian life. And we said, I think I took Brother Bragg, and Brother Jason, if you want to sit in that end chair over there, it was Brother Bragg last Sunday morning, but this is Egypt, okay? And Egypt is the place where folks are lost. They're under the oppression and bondage of sin, all right? And you remember the blood on the doorpost and the sacrificial Passover lamb. And they came out of the land of Egypt with great deliverance. In fact, the Egyptians said, get out of here, because judgment came upon the places where there was no blood on the door. And the Israelites came out into the wilderness. Now listen very carefully. It was never God's perfect will for the children of Israel to wander for 40 years in the wilderness. In 11 days, 11 days or thereabouts, Brother Caleb, will you slide over there? In 11 days or thereabouts, He brought them from Egypt to the threshold of the promised land at Kadesh Barnea. Now, they came out of Egypt, which symbolizes the lost, unsaved world. Oh, God, we're all unsaved. We're in Egypt. Now, we get saved. And then the wilderness is a time of learning what God wants from us and learning how to worship God and learning how to serve God, learning how to honor God, learning how to love God. And then you're growing your Christian life and you come to the place where it's the promised land. The promised land is the place of the victorious, abundant Christian life, the fruitful Christian life, the land that flows with milk and honey, where the grapes were so large they had to put one cluster on a pole, carry it between two men. This is what God wanted for the children of Israel. Hey, this is your land. I brought you out of here to put you into here. God didn't bring them out to wander 40 years in the wilderness. But they got to the door of Kadesh Barnea, and they hardened their hearts. So they didn't go in. And because of that, they wandered for 40 years. They limited the work that God wanted to do. Now, how does that apply to me and you? All right, you and I get saved. We come out of Egypt. And after we get saved, we learn how to honor God. We learn how to worship God. We learn how to walk with God. We learn how to love God. We learn how to serve God. And you know, eventually, and really, the how long this time period is between Egypt and the promised land is really up to me and you. It's really up to how soft our hearts are. And if we're soft enough, God can move us along over here rather quickly, and we can enter into that promised land, the abundant, victorious Christian life, the land of milk and honey, the land of fruitfulness, and enjoy that victorious Christian life that God has for us. Okay? Now, the Spirit of God works on us and molds us and shapes us into the image of Christ, into this victorious, fruitful, abundant Christian life. Now, how does He do that? How does He work on us? He works on us as He speaks to us through His voice. Do you understand, friend, that the Spirit of God does not speak in audible tones like I'm speaking to you tonight? But many times when you sit in a service where a pastor or an evangelist or somebody is preaching the Word of God, as the man is speaking audibly to your ears, the Holy Spirit is speaking inside your heart. And He's saying, you know what, that's right. You know what, you need to listen to that. You know what, that's true. He speaks to us. He speaks to us through His voice. Let me tell you how important that is. The Holy Spirit's voice convicts us. You realize, friend, that you and I could never have come to Christ for salvation had the Spirit of God not convicted us. I'll promise you, friend, there will never be conversion until there is first conviction. Never. And it is the Spirit of God with His voice begins to impress on our hearts conviction of sin, showing me my sin, showing me that my sin separates me from God. This is what happened on the day of Pentecost to the men who just a few days earlier had hollered, "Crucify Him! Crucify Him!" And Pilate says, "Why? I find no fault in Him. What evil hath He done? I want to turn Him loose." And they said, "No, we have no king but Caesar. You crucify Him." And then just a few days later, on the day of Pentecost, when Peter and the other disciples preached, the Bible says that those same men were cut to the heart And they were pricked in their heart. It was the Spirit of God bringing conviction. And instead of crying out, "Crucify Him," or "We're glad we put Him to death," they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? Tell us what to do." Now you tell me, who made the difference in those men to bring them from the place of saying, "Crucify Him, we have no king but His blood be on us and our children"? Brought them from that place to saying, "Tell us what to do." You know who did that? The Spirit of God did that. Who brought you and me from an unawareness of our sin, from no sorrow for our sin, from not even thinking about our sin, to thinking about it and feeling sorrowful for it and feeling guilty and realizing that we've sinned against the Holy God, bringing us to the place we're ready to trust Jesus Christ as our Savior? Who brought us to that place? The Spirit of God did. Do you understand that you and I would never have experienced that blessed salvation had it not been for the convicting voice of the Holy Ghost? And by the way, He doesn't stop once you get saved. So when's the last time the Holy Spirit of God has convicted you about something? His work of conviction is not a one and done thing. His work of conviction is not completed at salvation. His work of conviction is ongoing, showing me where I need to make adjustments, showing me where I need to make changes, showing me how I need to better behave, work on the attitude, my spirit, my relationship with my spouse, my relationship with my children, my relationship with my neighbors, my relationship with the business world in my community where I live. He's continually working on us and convicting us and speaking to us and showing us where we need to make adjustments. This is what I'm saying. You know, in talking to some of these folks that have been newly, it's so refreshing, you know, to see them. And this morning, you know, one of them says, you know, "There is such a change in my life since I got saved. I used to say things and do things and never think anything about them. And now I'll catch myself saying something and doing something and I'll put my hand over my mouth and say, 'Oh, I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have said that.'" And one of these people standing back there after church was over this morning and the tears trickling down their face, so burdened for their unsaved spouse, hoping and praying with her friends that he comes to the breakfast next Sunday to hear Brother Coral. Folks, look, you know what? You can have the attitude, "Well, this stuff is just, you know, just to get a big crowd." You can think that if you want to. I don't care what number we have next Sunday. If there are some lost people sitting in this auditorium to hear the gospel, that's all I care about. I don't care if we have 10,000 or 100. I mean that. If 75 of the 100 are lost and they can hear the gospel, I'll wonder where the rest of you are. Amen. But I promise you, it won't bother me. Do you understand that this woman, her heart is so stirred right now for the salvation of her husband. She's so excited. Now, this is old hat to some of us who've been here over the years, but we can't afford to let it become old hat to us. It means everything to her. Everything. It's refreshing to see a 3-month-old Christian talk about the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. But I want to tell you what's more refreshing. What's more refreshing is to see a 20-year-old Christian talk about the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. I had a young man call me some time ago. No, he came to see me. We sat down back there in the conference room. Here in our church, and a young married man. And we talked about it. He said, "Look, I need some advice. I just want to get your opinion. And this and this and my attitude and my spirit." And he gave me some situations. And I said, "This, this, and this." And I gave him some Bible things to think about. And you know, on the phone, after that appointment, we were talking one time. And I said, "You know, I'm trying to work on some things. And God is showing me some things. I'm trying to work on myself." It blessed me. It blesses me to see a person who's 3 months old in the Lord talk about the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. But it's a blessing more than that, even more than that, to see a young man who's been saved most of his life talk about the convicting work of the Holy Spirit. That's how it should be. Because in this journey from Egypt to the promised land, that fruitful Christian life. And folks, you know as well as I know that you and I can cross over into that fruitful Christian life, but then we can slide back too. Not from salvation. No. But from that fruitful Christian life. And the Holy Spirit is the one that works on us and convicts us. The Holy Spirit connects us to Jesus Christ and conforms us. And the Holy Spirit completes us. Listen to this question that Paul asked the Galatian churches in Galatians 3:3. He said, "Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh?" You got your start into the Christian life through the work of the Holy Spirit. You're not going to get yourself saved through the works of your flesh. You can't do that. So the Spirit of God does that work in you. Now, don't be so foolish. If you began in the Spirit, you're going to get completed in the Spirit. It's a work of the Holy Ghost. It's a work of the Holy Ghost. Now, let me say, if my heart is in this kind of condition, it's far easier for the Holy Spirit to mold me, shape me. If my heart's in this kind of condition, there's not much He can do other than just pound on me. That's why some people don't like church. That's why some people don't like preaching. You tell me, friend, why in the same auditorium, in the same service, in the same message, in the same text, one person sits and just goes, "Oh, man, wow, wow." And somebody else goes, "When is this going to be over? How long is this going to last?" Now, you tell me what the difference is. The difference is in the condition of the heart. Where are you? Because look, that's all that, like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. If I had a hammer here tonight and went to work on that rock, I'll promise you, I'd have to hit that thing several times with that hammer, probably very hard, to break that thing. And that's all preaching is to some people. Bang, 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 bang. When it could be this. So a hardened heart limits the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to say, that's the longest point. Let me say quickly tonight, number two, that the heart is hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Look at chapter 3, verse number 13. This is what the Bible said itself. I didn't write this. God wrote it. Look at verse 13. He said, "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." So our heart is hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. A hard heart limits the work of the Holy Spirit, and we get to some degree of hardness in our hearts because of the deceitfulness of sin. I don't have to say this to you tonight more than once or twice. Sin is deceiving. It appears to be harmless. It appears to be safe. It appears to be risk-free when in truth, sin is deadly and it is harmful. It's deceitful. You know, the Bible says that Eve was deceived when she sinned against God in the garden by eating the forbidden fruit. Do you know, friend, there was nothing wrong with that fruit? Well, God created some bad fruit. God didn't create bad fruit. It was on the third day that God created the plant life. And the Bible says that on that day He created trees yielding fruit. And the Bible says that after He created those trees that were yielding fruit, He saw that it was good. There was nothing evil about that sin, about that fruit. This fruit was not bad or wrong. The sin was not in the fruit. The sin was in the fact that God said, "Don't eat of it." And Eve and Adam disobeyed God. That's what the bad was. That's where the sin was. It wasn't in the fruit. It was that they broke the command, was a command of God. And Eve was deceived. The Bible says that in the book of Timothy. Eve was deceived. She was deceived into thinking, "This won't hurt." She was deceived into choosing, "I think I will go ahead and eat." because it's not harmless. What can it hurt? Well, the sin was harmful and the sin was deadly because it hardened her heart. So how do you know it hardened her heart? Because where she and Adam would wait patiently for God to come in the cool of the day and meet with them, now they were hiding behind bushes. Fearful. And their hearts were somewhat hardened. You see, sin is deceitful. It promises more than it performs. Sure it does. It leads us on further than we want to go. People who commit sin are under delusion, and if they continue to commit sin, it will lead them from step to step until the heart is entirely hardened. Sin. Sin is when we disobey God. I'm talking about the external sins. I'm talking about living in fornication. That's a sin. And if you claim to be saved and live in fornication, your heart is hardened. I'm talking about alcohol. I'm talking about all the external things that we associate with sin. And I'm talking about more than just the external things. I'm talking about the internal things too. I'm talking about the jealousy and the gossip and the grudge and the bitterness and the lying. It's all sin that is deceiving and will work to harden our hearts. You see, as the Holy Spirit is working on us and moving us from this person over here to this person over here, His voice through the Word of God says, do this, don't do this, live this way, don't live this way, behave this way, don't behave this way. And every time you and I say no, it has an effect on us. Every time I say no, my heart becomes less pliable and more hard. I move from here further to here, or from here further to here, wherever I am. It may seem harmless. It may seem safe for us to say, no, God, not this time, God. It won't hurt God if I do this. But friend, that is deceitful. Sin is not harmless. It is not safe to say no to God. I say. Have you said no to God about some area of your life recently? You know, this boils down to where you and I live as husbands and wives. Do you know you don't have to argue with your wife? You know you don't have to argue with your husband? You know when the thing just gets started and the Spirit of God says, you know, why don't you just let it go? We just bull right ahead. You know what? Our heart's hardened. You young people, moms and dads, have rules, and moms and dads have regulations and barriers, and they have how they want you to live, and you get away from home, you get away from your mom and dad, maybe you got an overnight trip somewhere, and you're presented with an opportunity to, do this or that. And the Spirit of God says, man, Dad wouldn't want you to do that. And you move ahead. That's called hardening your heart. I like Scott Mercer when he was here. Boy, he gave a great illustration. He was preaching on that Wednesday morning of the missions conference, and he was talking to me. Of course, there was a lot of school kids here, and several of you adults as well. He talked about being on a trip up there when he was in school up in high school up in Hammond, and they went on this trip, and they got somewhere, and the youth director said, "Okay, no television, no television." They put the older boys in a room. They didn't have enough adult chaperones for every room. And they put the older boys, senior boys, in a room together and told the whole rule was, okay, folks, no television tonight. Well, they got in there. There was four of them in there. And two or three of them, including Scott, said, hey, what channel do you think the basketball game is on? And one of those boys grabbed that remote thing and said, we're not watching TV. He said, what do you mean? He said, well, you heard brother, whoever it was, brother so-and-so, said no TV tonight. He said, oh, come on, man, that was for the younger guys. We're seniors. Trust us. He said he didn't say no TV except for the seniors. He said no TV. We're not watching television. Now, you know what that's called? That's called having a soft heart. That's called listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit through the authority on that trip. When you and I turn a deaf ear to the voice of the Holy Spirit, we are turning or becoming more hard in our hearts. Has the Spirit of God spoken to you about music? Has the Spirit of God spoken to you about friends? Has the Spirit of God spoken to you about television? Has the Holy Spirit of God spoken to you about your Bible reading? Has the Spirit of God spoken to you about your family? Has the Spirit of God spoken to you about anything? We said, the Spirit of God hasn't spoken to me. I don't remember the last time the Spirit of God spoke to me when I heard His voice. Are you here? I said last Sunday morning, I'm convinced that people who got everything straight on the outside, look perfect on the outside, carry one of these inside. When's the last time the Spirit of God spoke to your heart? As you were reading your Bible, as you were listening to somebody speak, as you were listening to some good Christian music, as you were with some good friends, as you sat in a church service, when has the Holy Spirit of God spoken to your heart? You see, friend, all God is trying to do through the Holy Spirit is to move us. He's trying to carry us on this journey from the land of Egypt into the promised land. The Holy Spirit of God is trying to conform us into the image of Jesus Christ. And the easiest way for Him to do that is for me and you to be very careful that we're obedient and we listen and we avoid sin, because sin hardens our hearts. Sin hardens our hearts. Now I'll say this and I'm done. The hardened heart causes God grief. I want you to look at verse number 10 in chapter 3. The hardened heart causes God grief. Look at verse 10. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation. Do you see that? That's the generation who had the hard heart and turned back. Look at verse 17 in the same chapter. He said, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? The hardened heart causes God grief. God is pained. He suffers sorrow when one of His children develops a hardened heart. There's some people in this room, and I wouldn't cause you more hurt than what you're already going through in some cases, but there's some people in this room, your children have disappointed you. You brought them up a certain way, and they turned their back on what you taught them. And they're away from God tonight. You have a grieved heart. You have a grieved heart. It grieves you. It doesn't rob your joy. It doesn't take the joy of your salvation away, but it's just there. Now, if an earthly dad or mom can be grieved because they have a child who's gotten hard to the things of God, how much more shall your Heavenly Father be grieved when His children harden up? I don't want to bring God grief. I don't want to wander in the wilderness for 40 years. But more than not wanting to wander in the wilderness, I don't want to bring God grief. I don't want God to look down from heaven and grieve over a hard heart that Terry Angel possesses. I don't want that. God's done too much for me. God loves me so much. He loves you the same. God has given me so much. Before I came out from here from the office tonight, I was just kind of had a few extra minutes because the ladies' choir was practicing, and I was just kind of walking around in my office looking at the pictures that are on the wall in my office. I started thinking back over the years now, 35 years, 36 years pretty soon here, of being saved. What God has allowed me to do, what God has given me. He's done so much. He has been so good to me. I don't want to grieve Him. Don't you think it's pretty low? After all He's done for us, for us to get such a condition that when He looks down from heaven, man, I wish they didn't have that heart. Man, grieves me. Where are you tonight? Where are you? The Bible talks about the hardened heart. I'm either at this point, or somewhere in between. This is the worst place to be because it limits the work of the Holy Spirit. And I get like this because of sin. Disobeying God. And when I get like this, I grieve my Father. I don't live like that. I want to have this kind of heart right here. Amen? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, would You help us tonight? Thank You for Your Word. Holy Spirit, would You please speak to us tonight? We give ourselves to You. Pray that You'll work in the message. Not just in this room tonight, Holy Spirit, but through this week. Our ears might be attentive to what You have to say to us, that we might hear that still small voice that works in our hearts, convicts us, and helps us to be obedient, sensitive. Help us to live with a soft heart and not an old hard heart that limits what You want to do in our lives. Bless us tonight. Help us, I pray. In Jesus' name.